I want to turn you now to God's Word for our Bible reading, and we're turning this morning to the Old Testament and to the book of the Song of Solomon and to chapter 5. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5. It's not going to be my main portion, going to be looking at a number of verses, which I trust later you'll turn with me to. But this is where we will begin our reading and our study. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, commencing to read at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by this hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And my soul failed me when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is my beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves with by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl, his belly as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Amen, and may the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his holy and precious word. And I ask you now please to stand, and we'll pray that God will bless what we have read and now bless our meditation upon his holy word this day. Let us all unite again in prayer. O God, we come again before thee seeking a blessing, seeking again help from on high, asking, Lord, that thou will bless thy truth to all of our hearts this day. I come, Lord, personally praying that now that thou wilt fill me with power from on high, O God, endue me with thy spirit, that I may be able to speak to this thy people as I ought to speak. Lord, speak to me, speak through me. Thou hast given me a word. Oh, may it come, Lord, not as the word of man or the word of a man, but as it is indeed the word of God. Come now, minister to us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you in this congregation today, if not indeed most of you, will be aware that I have two little friends in this congregation. Now, when I sometimes do a video call with them, they jump up and they wave their hands in the air and they run around in circles. Sometimes they even lie down on the ground and kick their feet up in the air. I hope that they don't do that at this moment. If they do, don't think that I am advocating charismatic practices or theology. But I come to speak to you today not of the little friends that I have, but of my greatest friend, of my truly best friend. I come to speak to you today of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, like the Shulamite here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and in verse 16, I want to speak to you of my friend. She was able to say, "This is my beloved, this is my friend." And I want, by the grace of God, and that He will give me, to set before you the friend that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust and pray earnestly that He is your friend too. I want to show you my friend today. I don't say that glibly. But what a privilege truly it is that we often say, what a privilege to carry everything. What a friend we have in Jesus. I want to speak to you about the friend we have in Jesus. And the first thing I want you to note concerning the Lord Jesus is this, that Jesus is a friend who is caring. What do friends do for each other? They care for each other. That's how they demonstrate and show that they truly are friends. Friends care. When we are burdened with something, they share part of that burden because they care for us. And I want everyone that hears me today to know beyond all shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend who cares for you. There's none who cares like Jesus Christ. He really does care. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, there may be some times, you know, in the life even of the believer, and they begin to wonder, does the Lord really care for me? Look at the storm that I'm in at the minute. Look at the struggles that I have. Look at the sicknesses that I have. Does the Lord really care for me then? And I will say to you, yes, He does. Well, we may be like the disciples. You remember them on one occasion when the Lord went with them on a little boat across the Sea of Galilee and a storm blew up. And those disciples of the Lord, they feared for their lives. You know, God's people have their fears. We aren't stoics. Sometimes people have got a wrong understanding of what it is to trust in the Lord, and they think that a Christian never has any fears. Well, those disciples feared. And you know what they said to the Lord Jesus as He was, well, He had been asleep, and they woke Him, and they said unto Him there, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Do you not care for us? Oh, there may be times in the storms of 2021 and you, the thought might enter into your mind, does the Lord care for me in this storm? Yes, He does. Yes, He cares. You see, one of the roles of the Lord Jesus, as all of you will well know, even the little children, we know that verse, the Lord is my shepherd. He's a shepherd, and you know what a shepherd does? The shepherd cares for his sheep. And the Lord Jesus will not fail to care for you, his people. He cares for his flock. Lord Jesus, you know, spoke about the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet, or a true shepherd, a false shepherd rather, and a true shepherd. And here's what he said about the false shepherd and the true shepherd. In John 10, in the verse 13, he said, "The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." And he's drawing a contrast there. He says the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling. He doesn't care. When the sheep need his care and his attention, he runs. He deserts them. But the Lord says, "No, I'm not a shepherd like that. I care for you. And I want everybody here to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend who is caring. There's no friend more tender, more loving, more caring than the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the Lord spoke there, as I said, about the contrast between the false shepherd and the true shepherd. Now, I know that you are looking for a pastor for this congregation. Let me tell you some man you should not have. And the Lord deals with it here in John 10 and 13. He says you should not get a hireling. Don't get a man who's in the ministry for money. Because it's just a job. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. No, my whole heart, my whole work, my whole concern, he says, is for you, my people, my sheep. So I want you to know the Lord Jesus as a friend who is caring. But then I want you in the second place to consider with me that the Lord Jesus is a friend who is constant. And I take as a basis of that little thought that well-known verse in Matthew chapter 28 and the verse 20, where the Lord says to us, promises to us, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I am with you always. He's a constant friend. He is not a fair weather friend, as we speak of some, who will be with you when things go well with you and when things are looking up for you. Oh, they'll be there. But then when you get into difficulty, your circumstances change, or you lose position or power or influence, well, then they desert you. How many have found their friends like those of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15? Aye, when things were going well and he had money and all the rest of it, he was surrounded by his friends. But when he came to be in want, the Bible tells us there was no man that gave unto him. His friends deserted him. Well, what he thought were his friends. They weren't really his friends. Because true friends will stick with us through it all. They'll be there. And I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ will be with you throughout this year, throughout all your life. He will be a constant friend. He will always be there, in other words, when you need him. I'm sure, hopefully it's not true of all, but some of you may have experienced this. You've had someone and in a sense you thought, well, they're my friend, and they've said, well, if you ever need me, if you ever are stuck, don't be afraid to call upon me and I'll help you. And I can remember an occasion when I was in such a predicament and I needed what I thought was my friend. And so I phoned and I said, I'm in a bit of a problem here. I wonder if you can help me. And when is that you need help? What day is that? I'm not just sure about that. And then you discover, well, they're not as constant and not as faithful as you imagined. But the Lord is a constant and a faithful friend. We sing that hymn sometimes, how good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. He's always constant. He's always faithful. He's always true. He'll always be there for you every single day of this year, and as long as God gives you upon the face of this earth, if you're one of his sheep, if he truly is your friend, he'll be constantly with you. He'll be with you in the difficult times. Is that not one of the reasons we so love that 23rd Psalm, which says in the verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why does the believer not fear when having to go through the valley? For thou art with me, a constant friend. And when the Lord in his providence brings you and I through danger, or through difficulties, or through a dark valley, even a deathly valley, you can be sure today that the Lord will be with you. And one of the greatest and most blessed experiences personally I've had of the Lord is that I have found him to be a faithful friend to me, ever with me, whatever the circumstances, whatever the difficulty, whatever the darkness. He's always there. And I want you to know, child of God, as you go through this year, whatever difficulties it could possibly bring across your path, the Lord will be a constant friend to you. You can be sure he'll be there, right by our side. A friend who is constant. What a blessing. A constant friend. But then I want you to consider with me furthermore today that Jesus is a friend who is capable. What is God capable of doing? Well, he's capable of doing anything. You will know the story of Abram and Sarai. And you remember that they were both well on in years past the time when a son could have been humanly expected in that family. But the Lord came to them and he promised them a son. Now even Abraham, with all his faith and Sarah, for they were believers, their faith initially, or to some degree at least, it struggled to say, how can this be? And you know what the Lord said to them? He said this to them. He's in Genesis 18 and verse 14. He said, Is anything too hard for the Lord? You think it's too hard. You think it's beyond the realm of human possibility, and so it was, but it wasn't too hard for the Lord. The Lord was saying to them, nothing's too hard for me. So as we go out into 2021, be assured the Lord is capable of helping you, of supplying you with the very graces and help that you personally will need. Because the Lord's a powerful friend. We've got a powerful friend in Christ. You may have a caring friend, and even a friend that is constant and faithful and always with you, but it could be the case that your friend, because of their limited resources, is not able actually to help you as they would like. They haven't got the wherewithal. They haven't got the means to actually help you. They would love to help you, but they can't. But that's not with our friend, the Lord Jesus, believer. He is able to help you. He is mighty to help you. He is mighty. He is Lord. He is King over all. He's on the throne. He controls all. He can do all. With him, nothing is impossible. The prophet Zephaniah, we don't often read as much from Zephaniah and perhaps some of those so-called minor prophets that we should. But here's what Zephaniah says to us in Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. And Zephaniah was coming to comfort God's people. And how did he comfort them in their struggles and in their battles and their difficulties at that time? Well, Zephaniah reminded God's people in that day, and here's what he said. He said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He's a mighty, powerful God. You don't need to fear. He can help you. He can deliver you. He can bring you out of your troubles. He can bring you through this situation. Because he's mighty. And I'm glad today that I can stand here and say without qualification that the Lord is mighty. In fact, he's more than mighty. He is the almighty God. Therefore, he can help you. He's got the power to do it. And he's also got the means. He's got the might to do it, to help you. And he's got the means. He's got the wherewithal. He's got the resources to help you. You You know what the Bible tells me? The psalmist tells us in Psalm 50 and verse 10. Again, it's a familiar verse. I haven't dealt with any verses that are unfamiliar to you. Well, apart maybe from Zephaniah. You know what the psalmist said about the Lord and his resources? He said, "The cattle on a thousand hills are his." You could envisage the farmer in Israel standing there by his farm and looking out into the fields, into the hills, and to be able to say, you know, the cattle there on those hills, they're mine. You can imagine a farmer doing that. And maybe even looking over in another direction, and the cattle, he says, on those hills, they're mine. But none of them could say, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. But the Lord can, because he's got all the resources. Everything is his. So therefore, he is capable of helping us. He's got the might and he's got the means. He's got the power to do so. Oh, you can be sure as you travel through 2021 that the Lord is able to supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. You know, as believers, we should thank him today for the mighty power that he's already displayed in the saving of our souls and the provision of our salvation in Christ. That's what Mary rejoiced in, you know. For in Luke 1 and 47, here's what she said. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." You know, it takes great power to save a soul. Only God has the power to save a soul. It takes great power to deliver a sinner from the bondage of sin and from Satan. But our God is mighty. And that's what he's done for you, believer. He has, by his mighty power, done great things for you. Oh, rejoice. Thank him that he's already displayed his power in your behalf. Jesus is a friend who is capable. Some people are optimistic, some people are pessimistic. I don't know how you view 2021, or what lies before us, or how you view the work of God at this particular time in the history of his church. Maybe you think, well, and look at it and say, the tide's gone far, far out. I can hardly see it. Well, I say to you, if that's how you view it, then don't despair. God is mighty. He can cause that wind to send that tide back in again and bring that tide back in so that again we will have days of rejoicing. He's able to do it. Our God is able to deliver thee from whatever situation. And then I finish by asking you to think with me that Jesus is a friend who is commendable. That's what the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon was really doing. She said, This is my friend. She spoke highly of him. And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not only worthy of our highest praise, but he is the one who is to be commended to others. You should be recommending him. You should be commending him to others. Oh, our own personal experience and approval of the Lord Jesus as our friend should cause us to highly recommend him unto others. And that's why I've come here today, and it is this, to recommend Christ to you. Oh, I know I failed in the sermon because I could not commend him highly enough. And in that sense, it's a pathetic job that I've done, and I say that humbly, because I cannot commend enough the Lord Jesus to you. He's a friend that is to be commended. I commend him to you. I say to you, though feebly yet honestly, this is my friend. There's much more I could say about him. Will you commend Christ to others this year, believer? Will you start speaking to others about him, about your friend? Will you speak just a word for Jesus? Tell how he helps you live. Tell of the strength and comfort which he can freely give. Will you commend him to others? That's what we should be doing. Will you take the opportunity this year to be a witness for Christ and to speak well of him? But what of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your friend? Is he your friend? I pray he is. But how can he be your friend? Well, have you made him your friend? Well, the Lord tells us how we can know if we are the friends of him or he is the friend of us. For in John 15 and verse 14 he says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." So here's how you can tell whether you are a friend of the Lord Jesus. You're a friend if you do whatsoever I command you. What does he command? I give you what he commands you and me and all of us. In Mark 1 and verse 15 he says, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." You cannot have the Lord Jesus as your friend until you repent of that, of sin and of your folly and of those things that are hateful to him. Sin is that which he hates. And until you and I repent and believe the gospel and be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we cannot have him as our friend. But you can have him and come to know him if you will obey his command this day to repent and believe the gospel. I finish with a quotation from the Scottish preacher John Brown. There are a number of John Browns worthy to be read. But here's what Brown said. He said, "It is infinitely better to have the whole world for our enemies and God for our friend than to have the whole world for our friends and God for our enemy." I finish with a question. Is he your friend? I pray he is. I commend him to you all.